It is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And a microphone.
We are where it's at. What a nice Friday we just had.
That was a very, very fun conversation.
Yeah.
In studio. We love it.
In studio, which doesn't happen very often because, you know, we're worldwide.
Yeah. Wow. Zoomtastic.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we have some really great guests, and today is no different. Dr. Steve Weintraub in office with us, who happens to be pretty awesome at, like, pickleball and tennis, but also he's got decades of experience working with athletes, and from every age, from high school to college to professionals to, you know, has even been affiliated with like the Yankees organization and his own practices and hospitals and on,
as well as just the general public. Yes. You know, helping them stay healthy, feel better, mm-hmm. move a little better. Mm-hmm. Right. It's what it always comes down to, as Dr. Steve says, you know, the movement and, you know, how well you move and how long you can move for in life, not necessarily mm-hmm. in one session, but, yep. You know, and just what he does, how he helps people, what he's seen, what he's been seeing. Now, you know, medicine has evolved in his time and what he's able to do now to help people out, and high school athletes, you know, what we're seeing there. We get into sports specialization and what it means to the kids. Who's to blame sometimes, uh-huh. you know? I think that's a loaded question. But, you know, and just everything that has to do with general movement, sports medicine, feeling good, being healthy, lifestyle.
So good.
Right? Our wheelhouse. So we love this stuff.
We went from everything today, from pickleball to stem cell research, yeah. right, to the aging athlete, mm-hmm. which is what he kind of specializes in speaking about, to, let's see, one-eyed hand, like hand coordination to decrease the onset of dementia, everybody. Yeah. So you get the freaking ping pong paddles out because it actually does help. To literally what we should be doing on a day-to-day basis. I mean, this is a great conversation, and I think you need to sit back and really take some notes about what we should be doing to help us be a little bit more active. And you're going to hear him say it. Keep moving. You know me. I'm like, the second you stop moving, it's all over. And I love the fact when there's a doctor that comes in and is like, yeah, no, that's true.
Right.
See? We're not all. We are crazy. We're crazy in a good way. That's it.
Crazy,
move your
beautiful.
Butt.
Oh, yeah,
love it.
And look, these are my favorite conversations. We have somebody in house. We're sitting around a table. We're having a conversation, just like and you know, just like some friends at a coffee shop or the bar. And you get to listen in on it. These are really just special conversations to me. You know, it's like catching up with old friends. Mm-hmm. What are you up to, Dr. Steve? And
yeah.
then he tells us what he knows, and we just kind of go from there. And it's there's no notes. There's no show questions. There's no nothing. It's just, some pros sitting around, hanging out, talking shop.
And you know he's going to be awesome because we went to the same university.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Graduated a few years apart, but it all started. Love started at Binghamton University. There you go.
All right. Beautiful ladies and gentlemen, get into this one. Two Fit Crazy in a Microphone podcast. Here we go.
Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And a microphone.
We are where it's at. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Love the in studio guests.
Oh, yes.
Always a party.
In studio, in the still in progress one day, you know.
Yeah, we usually don't have to finish this place because no one's usually here. But, yeah.
All good. So we got in studio today. Woo! It's been a crazy summer. And we like to get even more crazy. Steve Weintraub, how are you today?
I am beautiful. It is a beautiful day. And, yeah, you could use some work on this office. I'm sorry to say.
All right. So, listen.
I was expecting a little better in studio.
It works.
You should see how professional it is, because when we have the computer and the big background and that, like, it's just a different, we're so video based, you know?
I get it. So this is not professional then? Is that what
you're saying? No. We're good.
You're lucky we put pants on today, you know?
That's professional then. Yeah. I feel like this is professional.
We got dressed up.
Yeah.
Tops and bottoms.
So listen up. No one just falls onto our show. And, you know, it's been like a quick minute that we've been recording, like 8 years, you know.
Well, wow,
nothing. I know, kind of crazy, but no one falls here. And you know, my girl Lori, right? Oh my gosh, I've known her for a really, really long time now. And she's like, "Hey, Christine, let's go play pickleball." I'm like, "All right." You know why? Because as someone in the fitness industry, right?
Yes.
I'm like, everything is pickleball now. Pickleball injuries, pickleball this, get stronger for pickleball.
The craze.
You know, and I'm like, oh, good Lord. You know what? I'm going to have to give in. I'm going to have to give in on this one.
And you did. You gave in.
I gave in, and I was like, you know what? This will be fun. This, you know. So, yeah. So, this isn't the only thing he does. But so we show up, right?
And
Steve's giving us these great pickleball lessons. He's so super. Because, and all of us are goofballs, too. We're like, what? Kitchen? You know. Of course, like,
is that pickleball slang?
Yeah, oh, yes. Brian. Yeah,
stay out of the kitchen.
Stay out of the kitchen.
Stay out of the
kitchen. And I was like, and the whole thing was like, I don't cook, so I'm like, I don't even know what is in the kitchen.
Okay.
So anyhow, yeah. So we tried. We did our best. You know.
No, you guys did great. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it, and we did it again. And you missed that second session.
You know why? I missed it on purpose.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
Did you know this?
No.
Do you want to hear the story?
Yes, please. Well, if you want to talk.
Because I did have a really good pickleball experience with you, but I was teamed up with someone.
Easy, easy.
I was teamed up, and I was told that I was embarrassing.
Her part. She came in. We talked about this on the air. She was a little like.
I was like
offended. I think
this is not how it's going to go. I'm like,
I think you all did a great job. I think you did fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you were fine. You know.
Yeah, I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, you were good out there. You hit the ball once or twice. It was good.
Yeah. So that's it. That was it for me on pickleball. I was told that I was embarrassing, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
well, that wasn't by me.
I'm out. I'm out.
Someone else there. All right, it wasn't you. It wasn't Lori.
It's fine.
It wasn't Dr. Steve.
It's fine. But I'm going to. But I would like to do this again. I would like to do this again. That's all.
I think
I needed a moment.
Needed a moment. I'd love to have you back.
It's fun.
And, it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of, like, this show is all about fitness and health. There's a lot of health benefits from pickleball and paddle sports in general. So
absolutely,
really,
yes,
really big.
Yeah. So that was just funny. But anyway,
we'll get into all that.
We'll get into all of it.
You know, we're not here because of pickleball.
No,
yeah, a little bit. Part of it. Part of the
meat.
Slice
that
of the pie.
Meat.
One slice
pickleball
of it.
Pickleball brought us together. That's
yes.
What
right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then my girl Lori's like, you know, this is like way after. She's like, you know, you should really have Steve on your podcast. And I was like, cool. But she's like, he's fascinating.
Oh, no.
He's really interesting. You need to talk to him.
She did.
Because listen, not just everyone is on our airwaves.
Oh, okay.
Only the fascinating.
So when my girl Lori's like, you should, like, he's got a, like a really good, he's been involved in sports and athletics and he does all the things and he's got this awesome experience. It would be a great conversation. And what do I say?
Book it.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds good. Yeah.
There it is.
I got the call. You know, and I'm here. I'm excited and I'm here. You know, and it's all due to pickleball camp. Let's go back.
Yeah. And
all
at the bottom.
So
there it is.
That's great.
There it is. It, who knows what it is. But
I'm happy to be here.
Let's take it back then. Let's peel the onion of why are you interesting? Like, what's going on? So where are you from originally?
Well, originally from Brooklyn, New York.
Yes.
New Yorker, Sheeps at Bay. That's where I grew up. But, you know, I went to college at SUNY Binghamton.
Do we know that we were Bearcats?
You were
a Colonial.
I was a Colonial. Yes. Right. You're a little younger than I am.
I don't think we ever talked about this before.
Do you know that? No, my sister, too. We find that a lot.
She used to hit things over nets, just in a different sport.
Right.
Oh, you were tennis. You played tennis for Binghamton?
Volleyball.
Oh, volleyball.
So my older sister played, and then I played. We both played for Binghamton.
See, we have a lot more in common than we thought.
Unbelievable.
See, we're unwinding it.
I actually played pickleball in Binghamton once.
Get out of here.
This summer.
That's crazy.
I'm not making that up.
When I
went camping, we went to the Jellystone out there, and they had pickleball at every campsite. Like, every campsite has it right now.
This is such a small world for us right now.
Well, look at this.
Speedies.
Oh, my God. The universe.
I don't remember Speedies. No,
Speedies were those chicken things. Those chicken sandwiches.
Oh, the
they're known for that.
Yeah. I remember on Vestal Parkway.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what that restaurant was called, but we used to go to that kind of bar food place. What was that place called on Vestal? I don't remember. Well, anyway, Binghamton.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute for me, too. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah. But we have a lot more in common.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's fantastic.
Okay. You know? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. SUNY B. So SUNY B, then went on to medical school in New York, and then went on to do my residency. How I got to Jersey, my residency at Robert Wood Johnson in New Jersey, and then my fellowship in sports medicine at Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City. And that brings me here. I've been practicing sports medicine and helping people with health and fitness for 32 years. So let's just summarize that.
In a nutshell.
So sports medicine is my passion. I've dealt with a lot of athletes throughout my years, professional and non-professional, and I love it. 32 years later, I'm not ready to retire anytime soon. I love it.
So do you specialize in any just sports medicine injuries in general, or do you focus on a limb, a joint, or is there anything your specialty that you prefer?
I focus on people.
People, yeah. Humans.
But yeah, I take care of the neck down to the toes. So I am a non-operative sports medicine guy, so I take care of any injury or any issue that comes around. And my motto is keep people moving. That's the key. Whether they're young kids or they're 80-year-olds, keep them moving. And that's what it's all about. And that's where all this craze in paddle sports and pickleball has really taken, to these older people. They're playing. They're out there doing
absolutely
stuff. Absolutely. You know? And I have one of my BFFs, my buddy Brian, who's a neighbor of mine. We kayak 3-4 days a week.
Woo!
He happens to be in studio
right,
as a guest. He's pushing 78. Are you pushing? Yes. Okay. And he
did you have to say like the age years young is what you put after that?
Yeah.
Years young.
He was born in 78. That's what he meant.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. He's 78 years young. But listen, when I talk to my clients, my patients, I ask them all the time, how young are you? I don't ask them how old they are. How young are you? And they love that. No matter what age they are, they love that. You know. So.
Well, how do you feel? That's what it is.
Right.
Exactly. Mentally, how do you feel? The second you stop moving, it's all over. That's my motto.
That's
like,
it. Like,
do you want to move and have your back kind of hurt or your shoulder kind of? Or do you want to sit there and have everything atrophy and then it all goes to garbage?
Exactly.
Like, it's, you know, that's, exactly. I think that's what we're, you know, especially, you know, Brian and I are more in the, like, the fitness, you know, wellness industry as opposed to being a, you know, medical doctor or, you know, a sports medicine practitioner. And it's just like, we need to work together here. Like, we all need to be like, okay, well, you're doing this with them. Like, we can help them here. Like, let's, you know, bring this together, people. Cause you know,
I agree with that. I think it's all of us together. I don't just, you know, spouse medical, you know, a jingle all day long. I work with people like you guys, you know, and work with my patients to keep them moving. I give a lecture on the aging athlete, I call it, you know, I go to these over 55 communities. And the last slide is just keep moving, because once you stop, you won't start. You know, so
right.
Well, that's the key, and you hit it on the nose. You know, it's perfect. Exactly.
We're like sharks, right? We stop moving, we die.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this isn't really a podcast. We actually just had Steve come here to
give us
like
the
mics aren't even on. Like we're just like, oh, okay. So we're gonna now have a
wrong audience. We got no problem moving.
What?
It's some friends that need to hear this one.
That is true.
And that's like the thing for me. I mean, I'm neither young nor old. I'm 49.
Years young.
49 years young.
Exactly. Yeah, 49 years young. But I'm a bad motherfucker for 49, right? And and I've got friends that are like, oh, I'm old. I'm like, dude, you guys are missing out. You know, like this is something. You gotta live the next 30 to 40 years in that body.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
You know, what are you going to do? Now's exactly. the time, you know? Mm-hmm. You didn't plant the tree 20 years ago like you should have, but maybe today's a good day. You can still do it, right?
Exactly, and that's what I push. You know, listen, I get patients coming in with, I got knee pain. They're 280 pounds, 300 pounds. You know, why do you have knee pain? You know, let's look at what the problem is, not just the knee. Yeah, I could work on the knee, but, you know, there are other things I got to work on. And I have students that hang out with me, and especially for the summer, students that want to learn sports medicine, and they see that the first thing I ask, you know, I don't hesitate to say, hey, listen, you're overweight. We need to work on that. Yeah, we could quiet down the knee, but at the end of the day, it's going to keep coming back if we don't fix the major problem, which is, again, getting fit and getting back into shape.
Sure.
You know? I have a big – okay, so this is a great – we didn't even get into everything yet, but I do have a question. So in this fitness industry, this world, right, the billion-dollar, you know, industry – something that's very powerful, obviously, you know, it's fear. It's we want to look a certain way. It's vanity. But I can't go to someone, right? They come to me, Christine, you know, I do a lot in between. Like, I don't really teach a lot of group classes. I work with chronic diseases and knee replacements and all the, you know, give me your sick and your, mm-hmm. you know, chronic disease. All right. And they'll, you know, I can't say to them, like, you know what? You know, you got to drop like a good 100 pounds. You know, and there it's that conversation of, oh, well, I don't want to upset you because now that causes other issues. If I, you know, I'm not saying you're fat, right? But like, you look and you're like, yes, your knees and your hips and your, you know, and
you're,
it's this,
you're as big as a house,
like, oh,
right?
You're carrying around an extra 100 pounds on your.
Well, look,
exactly what you said. How do you like break through? I think
anything chronic, right? Any of the chronic things, even
back to,
you know,
some of this.
Well, it's lifestyle, behavior. Even if it's chronic something due to overuse or the way they swing a bat or the way they, you know, they pivot or something like that. You know, it's a behavior. It's a, you know, it's a. And it's the lifestyle. So, yeah, I mean, it can all go back to the lifestyle, you know,
right.
If we look at it.
Yeah, I mean, as a medical doctor, it's a little easier for me to, you know, kind of hedge into that and mm-hmm. get into that, you know, the obesity issues or the overweightness or the deconditioning. And it's a lifestyle change, like you said, Bri. You know, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make a horse drink. I mean,
right.
So, you know, listen, if I see 10 people and two of those 10 I could fix, I've done something good. You know,
right.
You're not going to fix everybody. But you're going to try to fix everybody. And at the end of the day, who's going to take care of themselves? You know, it's not going to be me, you, or you know, it's going to be them. And if they don't buy it,
yeah.
If they don't buy that, you know, what you're selling, it doesn't matter. You know, so like I said, you can tell them what to do. You could help them the best you can. And it's not easy to have that conversation. Trust me, I know you don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to, you know, cause a, you know, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But at the end of the day, if you don't. You know, I think they'll appreciate you when you really hit the matter and you mm-hmm. hit what the primary problem is. And that's being deconditioned, being out of shape and just not doing anything, you know. And again, it's a lifestyle change, Bri, like you said.
Yeah.
So you got to change your lifestyle.
And that's really the only way they're getting out of it, right? Like there's, you know, the medical industry is good at prescribing things like, you know, telling people to lose a little weight and getting out and going for a walk doesn't always sell. It doesn't always pay bills and things like that. So, you know, it is an issue, I guess, is that you have to give them what they need, right? You know, that's the ultimate thing is give them the opportunity to really get what they really need, which is the lifestyle change or things like that. But, yeah, it's great that you do that. You know,
yeah.
It's great that you see it that way.
But the big problem is, I mean, we live in a society, that wants the quick fix.
Oh, microwave, you know? Yeah.
That's it, you know.
The microwave.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. You know, I want the quick fix, doc.
I don't want to do anything.
Exactly. I don't got time for this. Just quick fix me.
Yeah.
Or even like, you know, like people, you want to lose weight. You know, lose 5 pounds a month. Don't lose 20 pounds a month. I mean, work, set real goals, man. Yeah. Don't set crazy goals. And again, these new drugs, you know, let's get into some medical
sure.
stuff. These Ozempics, these Wegovys of the world, yes, they work, but they have issues. You know, they're not just the, you know, these simple drugs with no side effects. Yes, they help people at the end of the day, but you have to, no matter what, whether it be a drug, whether it be surgery, you got to change lifestyle.
No, you have to get healthy. Yeah. People say to me, you know, I'm a health coach and trainer, and I'm talking to them, and I am real with them. Depends on the client sometimes, but they'll say, I want to lose 30 pounds. I say, great, we'll chop off your leg below your knee, and you'll be set, right?
Yep.
Right? You know, I think it's pretty, you know, I don't know how much the leg actually weighs, but I'm sure it's fairly heavy. Or we can get healthy. Right? We can get something instead of lose something, right? You want to lose weight, get healthy. You know, it's just even like a positive spin on it. It's just a way to see it. And, you know, how do you get healthy? All right. I don't know. You tell me five things. What do you think you can do this week or this, you know, till we meet next to get healthy? Okay. Drink a little more water. Great. That's a great idea. You know, they come up with it. They tell me, you know, I need to eat better. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. You know, you know, tell me more. Give me, you know, go write a shopping list. Send it to me before the next, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, these people, they do see it that way. And it's not always about weight loss. It's lifestyle. It's, you know, the energy you put into it.
Exactly. And that's not to say there are people out there that have medical metabolic issues and things
sure.
like that, that, you know, I get people coming in and say, I've been trying to lose weight for 5 years and haven't lost an ounce, you know, and then, you know, those people need, oh, you hope they've had the metabolic workup, you know, their mm-hmm. thyroid checked, you know, their, you know, all these things that could lay into the fact they may have PCO, you know, polycystic ovary disease, mm-hmm. things like that, that, you know, they, no matter what they do, they're still going to have hormonal problems and issues or medical problems that are going to, you know, and they have to work with the medical team for that. So, yes, you guys are doing a great thing. But when you have frustration, someone's been working hard with you guys and you can't, you know, get them to lose the weight.
Sure.
Then you got to look at what else is going on here.
No doubt about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. You know, no, you got to have the, you know, the full quiver of arrows for the people to, you know, refer them to someone like you or you know, someone that. Like Lori, mm-hmm. who can help them with their thinking a little bit,
right.
And you know, and just it's a whole, you know, you got to look at it the whole
it's
scene.
A process, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So when someone comes to you, what's you know, generally non-operative? You know, what's the depending on I guess what they're dealing with? What's the you know general routine or operation or you know how do you not operation? You're non-operative, but what's the general
operating
flow,
procedure?
The flow of you know of care.
Well, the flow, let's take for instance. I see a lot of middle-aged and older, you know, people, or some of them athletic, some of them not. But the, you know, the general flow is get a good history. You know, why are they having pain? What was there an injury in the past? Was there surgery in the past? You know, get the history of what's going on, and then make the diagnosis. Do they need radiologic studies to help you with the diagnosis? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, I get a runner, you know, runners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, runners, you know, someone comes in with lateral knee pain, you know, distal iliotibial bands, first thing that comes to mind, right? So, you know, yeah, do they need an x-ray? If it's a 27-year-old, you know, athletic person been running for the last 5 years and they increased their mileage and is running on level surface, you know, the diagnosis is made for you. You
yeah,
know,
it's
do
simple.
Your exam and that's it, you know, and then you work on flexibility and things like that. Maybe you have to do something invasive like an injection at some point. But, you know, those are simple things. But then you get the heavy person who comes in with knee pain and swelling and, you know, no injury, but, you know, just started up about 3 months ago and it's progressively getting worse. Those people need a little more workup. Maybe need an x-ray to figure out. Are they having degenerative disease? Do they have any cartilage damage or things like that? So the flow will go x-ray. Let's see what's going on. Oh, you have arthritis. Oh, you don't. And was there an injury? Was there not? Was it, you know, and then you kind of have to, do we get more aggressive in working them up, or do we just kind of treat them? Usually conservative treatment is the way I always start. You know, let's get into some therapy. Let's strengthen the quads. Let's work on flexibility. See what happens, you know, and then, you know, then if it's not happening, then you get more aggressive in workup. So that's the flow. I see a lot of arthritic patients. There's so much to do for arthritis in the knees and hips now besides surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, the only cure for an arthritic hip and arthritic knee is replacement, but that's the cure. But not everybody needs replacement. And there's so many things we do with the first thing being weight loss. You know, obesity is the number one cause for progressive arthritis.
Sure.
So, you know, work on their weight, work on their flexibility, work on their strength, and then you know, do other things. You know, and there's a lot of things in the toolbox now that we use for people with degenerative disease and arthritis. Listen, one thing we're doing now is we're living longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 50% of the people being born today are living to 100. They're centurions, right? In 1900, what was the age of people? What did we live? What was the average age?
It was like 55, 60.
45 to 50.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
You know, we didn't have antibiotics. We didn't have blood pressure.
Penicillin.
We didn't have, insulin, you know, for people with diabetes. I mean,
people are dying at birth at a higher rate. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, God has allowed, if you believe in God, I'm not saying to be religious, we've allowed us to think and to develop all these new drugs and high technology medical devices to help us live longer. And we live long, but our bodies weren't made to live this long. But that's where we got to take care of them.
Yeah.
And if you don't take care of them, like you said, you just sit around and do nothing, you're going to break down.
Right.
Don't come kvetching to me. I mean, no, kvetch to me. That's my business.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is we got to take care of the temple. We got to take care of the body. And, because we're living longer. And that's why I espouse. You know, listen, I do a lot of injectables. I'm doing a lot of what we call viscosupplementation. I don't know if you know that. They're called gel injections in the late term. I do a lot of PRP, which is platelet. We could get into the details.
I was going to ask you that. That's on my list in my head.
I do a ton of them. I do every week. I do at least 6 to 12 PRPs a week. And stem cells now, too, we're getting into. We're still in its infancy with stem cells, but we're doing a lot of it. We're not sure what we're doing, but we're doing it, and it works for some of the clients. It doesn't work
well. I'm willing to try.
I had some stem cells.
I would eat them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner if I could.
You could come with the Fruit Loops.
Is that a problem?
I had some stem cells. I requested some Kenyan distance runner umbilical fluid of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had it in my in a shin.
Oh.
In the shin.
I had a shin splint that kept me from running. It was about, 10 years ago, eight years ago.
That.
And you had stem cells back then. Then it's it's come a long way since 10 years, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it hurt like shit for like a day.
Painful.
Yeah, but my friend podiatrist John Connors.
Everybody knows John Connors.
We've had John on the show.
John's a good guy.
He's the best.
I've known him for 30 years.
Everybody knows him. He's a buddy. He did it right in his office, and I'm not quite sure it worked, but he was, you know, he was also hitting me with the jackhammer, the shockwave therapy. So he was hitting me with that too, and it was all helpful, and he saved my ass a couple of times. I've been running a lot of miles.
John is good. He knows what he's doing. He does a lot of functional stuff. I've sent people to him in the past. But stem cells are still, 10 years ago, even more so, but still in infancy. I think, and I tell people 50 years from now when I'm long gone, I think we'll have better stem cells that really specifically target the problem. You know, you'll catch arthritis or degenerative changes early, and you'll hit it with stem cells, and you'll never have to replace a knee. You'll never have to replace a hip.
Right.
Because you'll have cured them, you know, with stem cells. Same thing with diabetes. I think, you know, kids with type 1 diabetes, you'll have stem cells that produce insulin. You can implant them. Right now they're doing it. The studies from J&J is working on it. The Israeli teams are working on it, where you do subcutaneous stem cells that produce the islet cells that produce insulin. You're going to cure diseases that way. Stem cells are the future, as long as we don't let religion cloud it, maybe, or people cloud it. I use placental stem cells like you had 10 years ago, and from a company, I'm not going to mention the company, from a company in New Jersey that's allowed to do them, to dispense them. I'm not here to market anybody.
Yeah.
They work. You know, they work very well. I've had them in my knees myself.
And like you said, everything's evolving quickly, right? I mean, this science is just growing and growing. Mm-hmm. All of it, you know, from the phones we have in our pockets to what they, you know, and everything is going so quickly. As a pro who's, you know, been at it for a while and you're trying to keep up with all this stuff. I mean, how do you go about doing that? They're not sending you back to school, right?
Do you sleep?
I mean,
I don't sleep for other reasons, but that's because I have four adult children and all that. But, I do sleep, but you know, what we do is we go to conferences and we, you know, I don't espouse to be the leader in PRP or stem cell research. Mm-hmm. I leave that to the researchers, but I go and listen to them.
Sure. Yeah.
And I go on Zoom meetings and listen to them, and I learn a lot. You know, that's the glory of medicine. I mean, I went into medicine because I love people, you know, and I love taking care of people and my outcomes. You know, when you have a good outcome, you feel good about yourself, of course, and you feel good for the patient. But to keep up, you know, I leave it to the real smart people, and I go to these conferences, sports
sure.
medicine ortho conferences, and you keep up and you learn the new stuff. I mean, I'm going to mention Dr. Rodio at Special Surgery. I mean, he's the head of the genetics and regenerative program at hospital at HSS where I did my fellowship. The guy's a genius. You know, I don't espouse to be even know half of what he knows, but you learn from these guys and
sure.
you stay up with what the latest and greatest is. So if I don't stay up to date, then I'm a dinosaur.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, it's very important.
You know? So it's important, you know. I mean, look at me. I'm 80 years old. I look good, right?
All right, pickleball. Pickleball's good.
No, you know, but I'm 61 and I feel good,
yeah.
you know. And part of it is I do some of the, you know, I don't do it to any patient that I won't do to myself.
Of course.
You know, so I've done some of this stuff and I mean, I stay in shape and I do pickleball 3-4 days a week. I do Peloton 5 days a week. I did it this morning. I could my neighbor Brian could attest to that. He hears the music playing and you know, he hears me going. And then I take my outdoor shower every morning. Nothing like a good outdoor shower. You
look,
know,
lifestyle, right? We hit on that earlier.
Oh my
stress
God.
Relief. Stress relief is key too. I'm telling
no
you
doubt.
That.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know, because stress ages you. I don't care who you are. We all have stress. If we don't have stress, we're not living. I agree. But there's got to be ways. And I think one of the best ways to relieve stress is exercise and
no
take
doubt.
Care of yourself.
I want to know, were you always into, I know we went forward, we never went backwards, and I think it's important to go back.
No, go back.
Did you always love, you know, this, you said, you know, I got into this because I love people, but what was the deal? When you were younger, when you were in Brooklyn, were you playing sports? You went to Binghamton. Like, what was, you know, what was the desire? Was it the fact that you loved, you know, you
that's
were a sports enthusiast when you were younger that led you to certain, you know, to that's have a, these certain ideas?
That's a great question, Christine. Yeah, it is a good question. Yeah, I've always been an athlete. I played basketball in high school. You know, that was my sport.
Yeah.
You know. I look small now, but I was like 5 inches taller when I was young. But anyway, yeah, it's an incredible shrinking man. But I played basketball in high school, and I didn't play basketball for Binghamton, but for the what were we called back then? The Colonials.
Colonials.
We were Division III back then, I remember, and now we're Division I. But,
no.
But I played a lot of intramural sports, and yeah, sports has been part of my life forever. And you don't have to be a sports enthusiast or an athlete to be fit or to exercise and try to be fit. Nothing to do with that. And that's what I have a lot of patients, younger even, that are not athletes, but I tell them, you got to do something, you know. I work for a school, and I'll mention the school because it doesn't matter, St. John Vianney in mm-hmm. Holmdel, New Jersey, and I'm the school physician there. And the most amazing thing about that school, as opposed to the public school that you work for, Brian, is that everyone is an athlete. Every kid is an athlete. It doesn't matter from the kid that plays chess to mm-hmm. the kid that plays high level football. Everybody gets a sports physical,
right.
And everybody has to do something. And I tell you,
I love it.
It's fantastic.
I have to sign off on physicals. I sign off on more sports physicals from St. John Vianney than I do from Alpen and Friel Township
yep.
combined.
Right.
You know. So, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, I love it. They really kind of encourage them to be. Do something, whether it be, you don't have to be a football player.
Mind
player.
Blowing, right? Like it's blows great, your yeah. mind. Wow.
And that's the institution. I mean, what if most households were just like that? You know, mine is. You got to, you know, what are we doing? You know, what are we signing up for? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they're signed up for
something.
Most of the time, they're signed up
choose,
for way too
wisely,
much.
Kids.
You know?
but
you know, it's just like it's great that they do that.
That's
I mean,
amazing.
I've seen them. You know, obviously competed against them, and they've got some good athletes from time to time. You know, I think it's a smaller school, so it's a little bit tougher.
It's a smaller Catholic school, but they, you know, they get people from Malvern,
yeah.
they get people from all,
the
all states,
over the place.
Like everybody,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Don Bosco and St. Joe's and all those
mm-hmm.
programs.
I hope to see a little uptick in in football. They've been down for a little bit.
My
old coach, Coach Mike Dowd, was the lacrosse coach there for a long time.
Yeah,
before that, he was at Manasquan. I played on the very first teams here in the Jersey Shore.
And
playing lax for Coach Mike Dowd. He's the best. Best dude. I still talk
He's
to him all the time.
Around,
I see
yeah, a long yeah, time. Yeah. I know Coach Dowd. Yeah. I mean, there's some great coaches out there that have been in the system, as you know, for a long time, and these kids love them, you know, and my kids were all athletic, and I pushed them to continue that even, you know, after school and all that. Not everybody's going to be a professional athlete or anything like
not,
that.
No, most of us not.
Yeah.
So what is, I guess I'll switch back a little bit. What is it that you see that maybe, is it sitting? I mean, lifestyle, yeah, but like, you know, what's leading to some of the more chronic things that you're seeing, the back pain stuff? Stress, obviously, is one, right? But, you know, what is it about the lifestyle? I mean, people are saddled to desks now for longer than they ever need to be. Kids in school are sitting way more than they ever need to be. You know, and just the lack of outdoor, you know, activities. Kids don't ride bikes anymore. They have gas pedals on there. You know, they have
battery-operated bikes.
Yeah,
those
forget
drive
it.
Me crazy.
Crazy.
You know? Like, oh, I got a bike. I'm going to bike now, but with a battery.
Yeah.
You know, how much biking actually
My friend's a strength and conditioning coach at a local high school, and he's like, kids can't squat anymore. They come in. Mm-hmm. Their legs aren't developed at all. He's like, we pedaled around, you know, not to sound like, you know, old-timer, but first of all, my kid came to me. He says, I want one. And I said, no. He says, well, why?
And I said, no, too.
Yeah, he says, why? Yeah. And I said, well, how much do they cost, first of all? And he's like, it's $2,000-$3,000. I said, well, there's why.
Right? I didn't even ask. I was a hard no.
I mean,
I'm like, no, you're lazy.
Why. Second, like, they're pretty
pedal.
Unsafe.
Yes.
Like, I can go through a number of things, right? There's more why
You don't
more
worry
why
about
nots.
Going 50 miles an hour without a helmet.
Against the grain of traffic.
Yeah, no problem. No problem, kids.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I was younger, growing up in Brooklyn, you know, there were these things called mopeds. They were gas-operated bicycles. And they got banned because people get into bad accidents and, you know, we weren't wearing helmets. I remember I was in this little moped gang, and I just remember my mom yelling at me, what are you guys doing? And
and
finally they got banned by the city, and that's we got rid of all our mopeds.
Sheepshead Bay
I
moped gang.
That word in so long.
Trust me, we weren't a tough gang. We were not
they
that
were like,
kind of gang.
They were like not the Sharks or the Jets. They were like
Warriors. Come on,
that's right.
It wasn't like that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, we were not a tough gang at all. You know, we just rode around and we had like these cards in the wheels and they would flip flop. You know, but no, we were not a tough gang. It wasn't that kind of gang. It was like a gang, and we played chess and checkers, but we went home. But to answer your question, I think you're right. I mean, you know, listen, COVID did change a lot.
Yes.
You know, COVID slowed things down for some people, sped things up for other people. One of the things COVID did for me, just on a personal level, is my daughter encouraged me to buy a Peloton bike.
You know?
It's like the gyms were closed down. You know, I used to go to the gym. My wife and I used to go to the gym all the time. She was very, very, very athletic. And everything shut down. So what do you do? You went two ways. You became sedentary or you did something about it, you know? And my daughter, who encouraged me, she's great, my daughter Alexa, and she encouraged me to buy a Peloton, and now I have three of them. Yes,
you got another bike gang.
I have one that I got her as a gift, and then one at another home. But, you know, it's great. I mean, till today, I have the original Peloton bike I bought during COVID, and you know, I don't go to the gym as much, but it's a great core exercise. Biking is a great core exercise, just like squatting is a great functional core exercise.
Right.
So you're right. When kids can't squat, that's a functional thing. If you can't do a good squat, you're not going to be a good athlete. Number one, and number one, it's one of these functional exercises. You know, so I think it's important to encourage the kids to do something like that and not be so sedentary. But you know, that's the thing. I mean, COVID slowed it down. But now it's picking back up again. And still, you just got, you know, for me and my patients and my clients, we just encourage, just like you guys, I'm sure, encourage them. Try to change that lifestyle. It all goes back to that lifestyle change. Get moving. Do something. You know, you guys teach them the program.
Right.
You know, I could send them to people like you all day long. It's great. Again, back to the old adage, you could, you know, lead a horse to water. You can't make them drink. They got to do it.
And it's got to be fun. Like, it's got to be something that's enjoyable.
Exactly.
You know, we fight that all the time. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, hey, listen, we want you to be healthy. Like, if someone says, you know, Christine, what's your one line pitch, right? Like, I'm not going to give you my resume anymore. Like, we're good. We're good. But what do you do? And, you know, Brian and I are here to make you happier and healthier people in the long run.
Longer,
like, really?
Healthier,
isn't
living
that it?
Lives, yeah.
Like, that's really what it comes down to. And when you think about that, if you hate doing this, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Let's exactly. find something else.
And right. you can find something for everybody. Trust me.
Oh, yep.
And at the end of the day, I think the encouragement is the word, which I haven't even used yet, is quality of life. I mean, what kind of quality of life are you having right now? That, you know, are you happy? Are you having a quality of life? Can you are you able to do things at a whim? You know, listen, bring it back down to pickleball once again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it started out, the injuries were much higher. The first year, there were $500 million,
yes.
New York Times article, five in orthopedic injuries. Great for mm-hmm. my business.
And, right.
You know, it's awesome.
The knees
but
were it, like.
But the reason is because a lot of these people were so deconditioned coming in. They say, oh, pickleball, it's for us.
Ah, right.
We don't need to
it's
get in
like,
shape.
Yeah.
But now it's become even a younger person sport now. I was the other day, I was playing pickleball the other night, and this is real deal. Next door to me, there was a league going on, young 25 mm-hmm. to 35, 4.2 level players, if you know that what that means. I don't even know what it means, but they're high level. Anything over four
yeah.
is pretty high level
right.
player. They were lights out. They were moving fast. They were young. They were hitting the ball hard. I'm not playing with those people. I'm playing with my group.
right.
I'm playing at a good level for me. But, you know, you can see it's getting to be a fast-paced sport. If you watch the videos on Instagram or you watch the professionals play, it's getting to be a sport that you have to have some conditioning. If I'm not doing my Peloton and doing my core exercises, pickleball is going to – I'll be, like, getting hurt all the time.
Right.
You know? So I think part of it is quality of life. I want to enjoy that quality.
Yeah, we're living longer now. What
exactly.
are you going to do with it? You know,
exactly.
for better or worse, we're living longer now. And, you know, you want to be able to enjoy those years or – shit, then you just work right up to retirement and then you know,
eventually.
Then you're hurt for the rest of your life.
Well,
your short
things.
Life.
Number one, I think you can do anything intense. Did you see the ping pong people in the Olympics?
Oh,
always? Like, that is
amazing.
No joke.
That
no,
was amazing.
They were sweating and moving.
That
and
doubles ping pong. I don't even know how they don't get in each other's
shit.
Way. You know, it's crazy.
Right?
That's
every time I watch the Olympics of ping pong, I'm just like mesmerized. I'm like, the
that
dexterity.
And badminton Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh, my God.
It's
they
wild.
Oh, that's wild. That's
yeah.
wild.
It's just so, like, I'm like, my brain hurts from the synapses, whatever. But the one thing is the health span versus the lifespan, too, is a lot that I, you know, a lot I talk to people about now. I'm like, listen, that's great. We're living longer. But, like, what's your health span? How healthy are you? Any in a wheelchair?
Well, that's
the whole
thing.
Yeah. Like,
quality of life.
What?
People don't want to live long if their quality is going to stink. You know, if they can't even get out of a chair, if they can't even move, what's the sense of, you know? And again, it goes back to my neighbor here in the room. You know, he kayaks, you know, 5-6 days a week. He stays in condition. He bikes. I got him biking to the beach with me. He's doing that. You know, I make sure he's moving, and he loves it. And look, the guy is, you know, he beats my ass in kayaking every time, you know.
And
you know, lately at least, you know, right? Well, you know,
competitive kayaking.
It's
always competitive,
it's
right? Everything's competitive.
Go against the wind.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no,
in
no.
The bay. It's a workout.
We've got a few. Yeah, don't worry about it. It's not easy. And look, it's just like you're saying, the Peloton, the exercise, the activity, it just makes everything around it better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whether
exactly.
it's pickleball or just, you know, carrying some groceries in or even the way you think, right? You know, you can kind of
right.
exercise.
Just going for a hike.
Yeah.
You know, I went to visit friends up in Barryville, New York. They have a house on the lake and they love to hike. You know, I can't imagine someone coming to visit them and then all of a sudden, hey, let's hike up this mountain.
Yeah.
We did it. But mm-hmm. thank God that, you know, again, staying conditioned, you know, it was great. You know, we walking their dogs, going up the mountain. I mean, there's no way if I'm not in condition. So then you're not enjoying the time with your friends. You're not enjoying the time with your family. All these things play a role in life.
Right.
You know, it's all about quality of life. You know, again, forget it. I have people telling me I don't want to live any longer if I don't have that quality, if I don't have that health, you know. So it's so important. Listen, you can't control everything. But the one thing you can't control is trying hard to stay healthy. You can try. There are things, genetic factors and all things that in life that you can't control. But you can't worry about that until they happen. And then you tackle them the best you can. And, you know, God forbid that happens. But, you know, we can do the best we can. And prescription for health, even for people with cancer, and part of my lecture in that geriatric, in the aging athlete, the prescription for health is exercise.
Exercise.
And I have friends, colleagues who are oncologists who who prescribe exercise and send them to me for to try to develop a program for them as well. And I'm sure you see some of that too. You know,
well, so. Yeah. No, I was involved with that quite a bit in exercise, medically necessary exercise mm-hmm. prescriptions and things like that so they can use ACHs and things like that to yep. actually pay for trainers to do it. It's like our industry does a terrible job, the fitness industry, of promoting the general exercise.
Right.
We're ready to hit you over the head with a boot camp. We want you to kick your ass. Mm-hmm. We want you to, you know, ride in a spin session that it's going to, you know, really like, you know, it was so hard. That trainer is awesome. He kicked my ass.
I like that sometimes.
Sometimes.
No. Yeah.
Sometimes. Yes. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes,
and then
yeah.
also on the flip side of that though, you've got the other people who are like, just sit in your chair and wiggle your finger. Now,
yeah.
if that's the only thing you can do, like, okay, but like, uh-huh. I think we should be pushed a little bit more. It's like that.
There's a big issue. Like I always said, we skip right over walking, mm-hmm. right? I said, do you walk? All right, we'll yeah. start there. You know, I'm a running coach. They want to come to me. They want to run. How do I get to run? Well, I don't know. Do you walk? No? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll yeah. start there. And that way we can, you know, it's like the most entry level blue water type of exercise that you can do. And 80% of the people in this world aren't exercising at all, mm-hmm. anything. And, you know, we kind of just skip over that because, you know, it's like you need to dance or pump or
more importantly, like what, you know, with all the cancer people that I've worked with that are either they have cancer, they're in remission, whatever the hell. How about we just smile and laugh?
Yeah.
Let's start there. Let's have some, you know, get the good endorphins, the good chemicals going on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's something to be said for that and having that open mind of, okay, well now I'm open, I'm receptive to going to the doctor, to doing a little bit more work, which is, huge.
50% of medicine is supratentorial. And what does that mean? It means above the tentorium, which is the lining of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So 50% is up there. If you can sell them on that and give them that positive attitude, that's half the game right there, you know. And then you work on the rest of the stuff, whether it be medicines or whether it be working with you guys. But they have to be positive. And positive attitude creates everything else, all that positive flow and energy. So those endorphins are key.
It's positive Polly over here you're sitting next to, you know.
Don't worry.
I'm going to believe the hell out of you until you start believing in yourself.
Close. I don't want to get burned.
She's
going to
slap you with
it.
That positivity. All right, let's get back. Pickleball's been around. It's been around for a while. I remember playing in high school, and we had a PE teacher that would ruin all of us on the gym floor. Like he would wipe the floor with us. Anything with a paddle, first of all, I stink at. I'm fairly
really?
Athletic. Anything with a paddle, horrible. Like I was just tired of getting my ass kicked.
Oh.
So like it's like I don't play it. Tennis, okay. Forget it. I hit that thing; it would go too far because you know I played baseball.
You're
and
a
stuff.
Foot person.
Yeah, I was trying to
your
whack the thing
person?
Out of. Yeah, I played
I feel like
a bunch of soccer.
Feet people
I did
and
play lacrosse. That's
people.
Kind of like a paddle, but anything. Traditionally, that's what I think of. But pickleball, I could play a little bit, you know, because it's right there for you. And I play with my kids. You know, I got three boys that are, you know, teenagers. Well, one's
did you go over the rules correctly?
No, we just freaking.
Did you,
we
did
just
you have
to
say the score every time you got to the line?
No.
Because it was a lot of math.
Yeah,
we
didn't do that.
A lot of math. It was intense with the math.
Yeah,
these guys had a little trouble with the math. But, you know, it's not as difficult as Christine is pointing out.
Lori leans over and she's like, I don't know what the fuck the score is, but I'm just going to say something. I'm like, I would too.
Yeah, just say, pick a number. But I think they made that too complex. We brought a calculator on board this for next session.
I'm like, forget it. I'm not saying the score. I don't care.
Right? It's that Binghamton education.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that education is a good education,
I know, I believe
by
it.
The way.
I'm kidding.
But I do want to say something about that. You know, the recent studies show that paddle sports, not just pickleball, but paddle sports in general, increase your lifespan on an average of 9 years. 9 years.
9 years.
Yeah. I mean, and running doesn't even do that. You
right.
know. But all sports increase your average lifespan. But paddle sports?
Cognitively, I would think, right?
Well, we talk – let's get into something like dementia and, mm-hmm. and memory issues. We know that paddle sports slow that down. And it's the all eye-hand coordination skills. It's using that brain, those synapses in that brain, and you're using them all the time when you're playing a paddle sport, whether it be ping pong, tennis, pickleball. It helps with dementia. It's being utilized as a treatment for memory loss mm-hmm. issues, and it's increasing memory, you know, for a lot of people. So I'm not taking this for granted. I mean, these are studies that are coming out in the medical literature. it is going to it's something that you're going to use for those type of problems as well. You know, dementia is a big issue. Early onset dementia is a mm-hmm. real thing.
Really?
It's become a problem.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
So, you know, why not paddle sports, you know, for aerobic and for that brain and for the positive endorphins, too. It could be any exercise.
Yeah.
Listen, not everybody's coordinated. Not everybody can do it. But it's not that, like you said, even you, Brian.
Yeah.
Coordinated and pick up pickleball.
I could get around.
We have like Rock Steady for Parkinson's, right? Same idea with the coordination of boxing, right?
That's one of the programs.
You know?
I'm on the board at Central State, which is a hospital in Freehold.
Oh, nice.
And that's the Rock Steady program we have there for Parkinson's.
Yes, it's great.
It's a great program.
Yeah,
great
it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just like one of my – I have a client who's 99 years old. I go to her house. Wow. Shout out to Arlene Burns. She's half blind. Mm-hmm. She can move around, but she played tennis until she was 87.
That's great.
Wow.
Sharp as a tack. She'll tell you all about it. Mm-hmm. Pissed off that they took her car away even though she can't see.
Wait, do you need to see? Did you ever see that movie? What was that movie with De Niro? Was it De Niro? Scent of a Woman?
Yeah.
He drove that Ferrari blind, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Pacino.
Pacino. Great ass.
He was driving that car blind, remember?
Yeah.
Tell me, left turn. You don't really need sight, do you?
No, but she's tremendous. She, you know, she's a little frail at 99, but she's great. You know, she's great.
That's fantastic.
And she just needs, you know, look, and it's little some exercise here and there, and some 3-pound dumbbells and some rubber bands, you know, so a little moving around the it's been a lot of cane work lately. We've been working with her on the cane.
It's
99. That's fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing. She's great.
Great.
We should get her on the show.
Seriously,
what's the secret?
Tell us the key to life.
No. Like, she'd be like, a what? I'm not sure what that is.
What's a pod? What?
Yeah, you're gonna put me in a pod and get out of my house.
Just stick some things on her ears and tell her to speak. It's fine.
But
we'll have to zoom.
But
Zoom. What's Zoom?
Oh God.
She's played till she was 87. She was a very accomplished tennis player,
That's
and she
great.
Loved it. Yeah.
That's great.
I even work with some special needs kids that tennis is a big part of what they do, and golf. A lot of them are golfers. You know,
hand stuff.
It's hand eye stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's fantastic. And look, anybody can do something, right? Anybody can do something. Mm-hmm. So
you guys are doing good things.
Yes.
I'm feeling positive since I'm more of a hand person than I am a foot person.
Oh,
that makes me. That made me feel a little bit better today.
Good.
About living. About life.
About living.
About longevity.
I think someone like you feels better about living.
Oh
every day.
My God, I do.
So what are some of the do's and don'ts of pickleball? I know it's no backpedaling at first, right? Is that something that's kind of taught or
backpedaling could lead to problems?
Right.
You get a lob over your head and you backpedal, and that leads to falls and all kinds of issues and
I've skulls. Seen
I've seen a lot of fractures.
Tailbones.
Yeah, you can train yourself how to go back. You know, it's moving to the side and going back.
Right.
But a lot of times I just give up. You got lava.
Yeah.
I won't even go for it. You know,
yeah.
Forget that. But just, you know, the thing is, if you train yourself and you work at it, you can do it the right way and in a safe manner. That's not to say you're going to be perfect and you're going to avoid every injury. There's injuries out there. I think most of the injuries we see are a lot of knee and ankle stuff. But I've seen dislocated elbows. I've seen fractures, you know, galore from falls. But again, goes back to the conditioning and the training for any sport. You know, listen, it could be like, you know, track athletes can get hurt. You know?
Yeah, there's common injuries in any, you know, in anything. You know, pitchers get elbows and shoulders, right? Yeah, you know.
Overuse stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line, if you train correctly, you avoid some of those things too, as
right.
you know. You know, one of the things I used to see every fall, you know, as cross country was starting, as you know, these kids come in so deconditioned after the summer.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone to sleepaway camp and this or that, and they didn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, you guys, I'm not blaming you as a coach.
No.
Coaches, run 12 miles. Let's go. They're not ready to run a mile yet.
Too much too soon, no doubt about it.
And that's when we see the breakdowns. You know, we see the shin splints and we see the stretch fractures and all that. You know?
We've had practices all summer this week.
Yeah.
This week in particular was week one of official practices. So now you got to be here. If you're on my roster, you got to be there. And, you know, there's some kids that we haven't seen, you know, all summer. And now they're back. And, okay, what have you been doing? Nothing. All right. You're starting easy. I don't even want it. Like, you're going to run for 15 minutes. See how that goes.
Yeah, what's the sense of breaking them down?
Yeah,
right.
You don't have a team. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, the coaches who push them too hard at the beginning, at the end of the day, mid-season, they got nobody. And then they're, where are they? So I think
that's not leading a horse to water. It's right, leading them to pasture.
So yeah. The way you're doing it is you get them if they haven't done anything. But again, one of the things in high schools now, as you know, they're starting early. You know, these kids are staying around with you and doing training.
No, running in particular never ends.
Right.
You know, and look, all sports in this, you know, in these ages never ends. My kids play baseball. They're playing, you know, pretty much year round. We started in, like, right after Christmas in the batting cages, right? And then he went through All-Stars. We finished mid-July. You know, he's 10.
Right.
It's like, well, it's
so
wild.
Look at the kids down in Florida and the southern states. I mean, they're playing all year long, 12 months out of the year, out on the fields. We're bringing them indoors a little bit and doing, like, some strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
But it gets in, you know, we can get into the whole idea of specializing, too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's
talk another, about that, because that's another thing. Talk about it, because I'm fighting it all the time. I have
a
sport.
That's what I'm saying. You get into the one sport attitude, you're playing three different teams, the same sport, and that's repetitive overuse injuries. You want them to despecialize, do something else, and, you know, try something else, especially at this age, at the young age, you know. Yeah, you're going to have time to specialize when you go into college, if you're becoming a college athlete or not, but... Yeah, the specializing has been a problem for years, and it's gotten worse, but I hate to say it, it's a parent thing. You know, I mean,
it's a parent thing, and it's a system thing, too. The sports all cost a lot of money. You can't really do anything else because that money's going, like, I'm paying for this thing, and, you know, and it's
that's
the obligation.
Everything is prepaid now, and the obligation is there. You know, I had a kid I saw, I'm trying to remember, you know, I see so many kids during the week, kid I saw yesterday. Who is going through soccer tryouts right now?
Right.
Yeah, soccer tryouts I think it was Malvern High School. Okay. I forget what high school, but it doesn't matter. But the mom said, you know, and he needs to rest. I mean, he had, a hip issue, and, you know, I diagnosed, wasn't hip flexor, but it was a tendon issue that, oh, it was a groin. It was adductor magnus.
Okay.
So the groin issue.
Yeah.
He can barely walk. Oh, but he's got to try out this week. So that's an issue. But that's when I deal with some of the coaches. And this kid has been on the soccer. He's going to get on the soccer team.
Right.
Why are you killing him this week?
You know? To prove a point.
Yeah. But the mom is telling me, oh, he can't shut down now.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? He wants to shut down now. You know,
his body's telling him to shut down now.
But that, again, you know. We've been dealing with parents and coaches, for years. You know, I could talk about concussions all day and deal with that, but come a long way with concussion work in sports medicine. But, you know, when everything has to be treated the same way. You know, when Johnny at this school is being treated differently than Johnny at the other school, parents get upset and you have to fight with them all the time. And the fights are getting less and less because at least we're educating. I think the problem is not educating these parents and coaches. And it's come a long way. We've educated a lot of people. I think it's gotten better.
Right.
It's still a long way from being great. You know, these kids, are definitely being pushed harder. And some of them burn out, as you know. You know, they burn out.
You know, and like the coaching isn't good enough anymore. You know, you got to have a pitching coach or a strength coach. And, you know, and everything is wild and you know, if you're a wrestler, you're just a wrestler and you got to go
look
to
at
wrestling.
My son burned out of swimming. Mm-hmm. It was like swimming, so much practice every night of the week.
It's intense.
And then you had your specialized coaching and your long distance and you're this and you're that and you're whatever. And he was like, great swimmer, but
like
I couldn't. And as a former athlete who had my first surgery when I was 16, because you didn't. And again, I played volleyball all year, but I also played other sports. So you'd be going from practice to practice to, you know, or game to game. So even if it's like, hey, you're playing a different sport, I played all the sports, but you're still in season
for
9 months a year. I'm still in volleyball season, even though there's, and then you're in double seasons of, so is that even a, you know, when people say like, oh, we should do all the sports, it's like, no, wait, we didn't mean what we didn't mean that.
That's,
we didn't mean do the other sports on top of it.
Time.
Like,
it's despecialized during different seasons and play other, try other things and let your body kind of adjust to other things. And That's the whole idea there. Not
yeah,
not
right.
Play,
yeah, see,
play on three different volleyball teams, and then play
also basketball.
Play basketball, the,
or yeah. Or my track kids who say, you know, my feet hurt, and I say, well, what'd you do? Did you rest over the weekend? No, I had a soccer tournament.
Yeah.
You know, they're soccer players.
I
really,
eight games.
I know you're a soccer player, but like when you come here, you're training here, and you know, I need you too, and we're trying to. You're here to be a better runner. You're on the team, and you know, it's just and soccer never ends. Basketball never ends. Baseball never ends. Lacrosse, to an extent, is bigger than ever. We didn't really have it so much growing up. You know, it wasn't until I was into high school that that was even a thing. And then, you know, track and field and cross country is three seasons long, and you're running in the summer. So it, a lot of it doesn't allow for any deep breaths at all. Anything. I always like that. I'm like, the season's changing. I get a new pair of sneakers. Mm-hmm. I get soccer cleats in the fall. I get some basketball sneakers over here. I get something else over here. Like, this is the best. Like, when do we go shopping for some new bling? Mm-hmm. And
That's cool.
And but
we're kind of still like that.
It is, except now I go to Dick's and I'm buying baseball and soccer at the same time, you know, and it's good. I want them to, you know, to be versatile with things. It's just like I need the soccer coach. My middle guy stopped playing soccer this year. He was kind of like just like, I don't know, kind of just working his way out of his life. And he was very good. But you know, he's like, I just want to, like, it's baseball season. And it was in the spring, and I'm like, yeah, it's right. Soccer coach didn't want to hear that. You're on our travel team, and it's, yeah, this is our spring season. Mm-hmm. I know soccer is a fall sport. And I'm like, you know, it's just kind of hard to do it all. You know, I'm coaching, my wife's driving these kids around like everywhere that they need to be. And I do think that once they get kind of into the high school system, they can focus a little bit more. They get the seasonal routines to it. They're doing something in the summer. Hopefully it's their primary sport.
They do, but then the travel comes into play too. And there's been a lot of controversy with travel teams. Should there be travel teams? Should there not be? Because, again, that definitely pushes a lot of these athletes to their limits.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing on multiple teams and they're playing on the school team. A lot of these kids that come to me, I care less about the school team. The travel team is more important to me. So, you know, it's it becomes a difficult situation. We see a lot of the young kids, 10, 12-year-olds with, you know, growth plate issues and things like that, like Osgood Schlatter and, you know, and or Sievers disease in the heel. And, oh, they're playing on three different soccer teams and they're playing three games on Saturday. And, you know, of course you're going to break down, you know. So, and then we can get into the pitching and the baseball. And that's another story for a different day.
Yeah.
But we've come a long way in modifying that, too, and pitch counts and changing – you know, the way we approach these young athletes.
Is it helping? Yeah. I mean, you see it?
To an extent.
Because some will say the other side of that is they have to pitch more. Like, if you're pitching consistently, yeah.
And the problem is they're the best pitcher sometimes. And when you go to Cooperstown and and there's three big games, they're going to pitch every game.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's no one else on the team.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do at that point? You know, so, and then they break down. They come to see me, and I'm saying, that's, you know, you, now you got you know, little league shoulder. You got, you know, listen.
That's when you're like me and you have shoulder surgery very young. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You hand them a pickleball paddle.
No. Okay. Don't always go back to pickleball, Brian.
Kayak? You know? No. All right.
Kayaking.
Also great for the upper body and shoulders.
Why not? We're pushing. We're pulling. Well,
oh, yeah, you're not a kayaker, I guess. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, when it. I mean, I don't have a lot of time, but yes, I do. I do enjoy kayaking when the opportunity presents itself. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. All the things.
Yeah.
I love all the things.
Sunshine on your face.
No, but like
feeling good.
You talk about specializing. I'm constantly, you know, in conversations with people and they're like, well, Christine, what do you do? What do you, you know? And I'm like, okay, first of all, you can't compare yourself to other people. But my thing is I don't get hurt. I don't get, when was the last time I was hurt? Like, and it was probably, like, and I can knock on wood I do it all the time.
Christine is in, like, just a perpetual shape.
Like, but there's a reason. It's the secret sauce is that I don't do one thing. Right. I don't do one thing. Like they're like, well, what did you do today? I'm like, well, I was on a spin bike, and then I went for a jog, and then I did some weightlifting here, and then I went swimming this day. Like every single day I do something different.
She's a freak athlete. It's crazy. Like she doesn't even train for a marathon sometimes. She goes out and she's smoking. Yeah, yeah.
But like
Iron Man too. I like always say, like,
I mean, I would be more impressed with the fact that I don't really train for Iron Man.
For Iron Man. Like it doesn't even train. Like
because you're just just go out and do it. I don't know.
No, there are people like that. But listen, you stay active every day, so you can do
that. It compounds.
But that's your lifestyle, and it's great.
Right. You know,
it's
fantastic. Her home life is very dark, though. There's a lot of dark.
TMI. I don't want to know about her home life.
No, there's vodka and dark lights and clown makeup. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. TMI.
It's like Buffalo Bill.
I don't.
There's a lot of dark pits. It puts the lotion in the basket.
She puts the lotion in the basket.
You should see my basement. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Oh God!
Anyway,
no, but you know,
yeah, we're moving off topic, but that's all right.
Oh no, I mean, it's totally on topic. This is mental health, topic.
Fit gotcha. Crazies. Yes.
Oh my God!
You are crazy. You definitely fit the title.
So listen, as from what you've seen, you know, recently over the years, what advice? This is always great because you know our listeners around the world, they're going to hear this and they're going to be like, oh yeah, you know, I do need to do this and be careful of this and. What advice, a wise one, would you give to anyone listening to this, whether they are just like, hey, I'm new into, you know, I want to make a change and start working out, or I'm a fitness fanatic, or, you know, I'm a professional athlete. What would you tell them right now?
Well, we already said all of it, you know, and I tell them just the main ending line is always keep moving. And again, if you aspire for a good quality of life, just keep doing something, you know, and you don't have to be a professional athlete to be fit and healthy. You know, there's so many things we can do to stay fit and healthy. And again, one of the things is if you're not fit and healthy at this point in your life, no one's telling you to go run a marathon tomorrow. You know, like Brian, we talked about, you know, start slow. You know, start with guys like you and start slow. And every day is a new day. Live your best life every day. And if that's starting slow and you'll see the progression, it's amazing when you see the progression. So my advice to everybody, whether you be a non-athlete to a professional athlete, is just keep on moving and keep moving in that positive direction and have that positive attitude. The glass is half full. Oh, we should be that way. You know, there are tough days. And, I go back to the Peloton. I'm not trying to market the Peloton, but some of the trainers and those people that run those classes for us, I mean, they're so positive, you know. And they aspire to give you that positive attitude. Listen, you're having a bad day, 15, 20 minutes of your life doing this, forget about your bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And then do something. And then, you know, your day will be better. You know, so focus on that for whether it be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. Start slow, progress, and be happy. That's all I can say.
Love it.
Steve, doc for Surgeon General. Here it is.
We're just
going to change the goddamn country, right?
Yeah. I'm not political, trust me.
Right now, what's
going on in this country, I don't want to...
No, me neither. Me neither, but that's what we need. We need some non-political people in those in those places. But I think that would be a good formula.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would gain from that.
Tell us where people can find you, whether they are in New Jersey or, you know, anywhere. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, to get in touch with me, you can go to the Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health website. Just Google sports. It's just search sports medicine, and I'll be one of the docs on sports medicine on that sports medicine page, along with a few others that my colleagues. But I am in Morganville, New Jersey, which is also, you can call it Marlboro, New Jersey. Been there for 30 plus years and been in practice and we take care of 6 high schools. Now I have a partner, we love what we do. We work hand in hand with the athletic trainers and the strength and conditioning coaches around our area. And, you know, we just try to keep people moving, whether they be a 15-year-old athlete for the high school you know, a 70-year-old you know, person with an arthritic knee that just wants to get going and, sure. and get into shape. You know, so you can find me, just Google Sports Medicine, New Jersey, and trust me, I'm there. Steve Weintraub. Dr. Yes. Steve Weintraub, the sports medicine extraordinaire.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for spending spending some of your Friday afternoon with us, with the Fit Crazies.
No, are you kidding
me?
We
super appreciate
it. I didn't know what I was in for.
Yeah.
I had the time of my life.
Oh, yeah. You were like, how do I prepare? I'm like,
Yeah.
You know, you didn't need to prepare, you know, and... Yeah, you know, I said to myself, you know, because when I texted you yesterday, how do I prepare? She said, just come in and have fun. And the truth is, this is what we do every day.
Right.
You know, so, you know, great. I mean, if this can help, if this podcast can help a few people right now and get them moving, so be it. God bless.
That's why we started this. Let's give some great, unbiased information out to the masses that – please, please do not go on TikTok and listen to all the influencers. Please, this is why we do this. You know, we bring in the best and hopefully change some lives. So we appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. You've changed my life.
Thank you so much.
I love it. All right. Well, with that said, let's hit this weekend.
Yeah.
And my name is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at.
Peace.